Okay, okay. So let's go. Last time everyone got into it. If you remember, we all ought to ask questions. Okay, remember the guy with the shirt over there jumped in a few times. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know his name, right? He's pretending.
Chaim Moish
was pretending he wasn't listening, but he was listening. You could jump in again, it's fine. You could say to yourself again also. So this week's Parsha, there's a fascinating story. And Thursday night, we don't do Kabbalah. But obviously, it's one of the most mystical ideas in the Torah. Something happened. Moshe Rabbeinu with a snake. I have no idea. Beyond our pay grade here, as they say. And in the end, Tzipora did the milah for their son. It's actually Machlokes Rishonim. Which son? Machlokes Rishonim. It's a big debate. It's very a lot of pronouns in that parsha. It creates a lot of problems. It's him, her, she. So you don't know who they're talking about. But okay. As a side, just for a little musa, instead of the Zera Shimshon, the Alta from Slobodka said, to imagine what it's like, a woman sitting in a hotel room, she gets up in the middle of the night, if you can picture it, in like a Disney movie, a lot of usage words, and you see her husband's being swallowed by a snake. And instead of panicking and screaming and going crazy like you'd expect, what she did was, she clapped right away, oh, I have to do a milah, the whole cheshbon, she did a milah, calm and collective. In order to do a milah, you got to be calm. If your hands are shaking, it's not going to work. So you see what it means to be on a calm level of greatness, and that's what the greatness of, it's not my verse, from the altar. And it's a goal to get to be under hopefully never stressful situations, but when you are, to be as calm as can be. So the Gemara is a kasha. It's really a Stephen Gemara. But the Gemara in Avodah Zarah discusses whether a woman who does a milah, if it works. Now, ideally, the Gemara Chavtes and Kedushin, that's probably one of the most famous places in Shas, discusses that women are not obligated in the midst of milah. That's a good pasuk in the Torah that says, Oisai v'lo yoisah. Oisai means he, a father, is obligated to milah and a mother's not. Tosfos, that's a famous kasha. That's probably what you learned in camp. That what it means, why is he obligated, not her, from a pasuk? It's a mitzvah sheshes man grama. Women are not obligated any mitzvah like that. So why do you need a pasuk? And that's a more famous Tosfos. But that's if they're obligated in the mitzvah or not. Tosfos points out that if they're obligated, it's a gemara and kedushin. But then what about if they do it? They're not obligated. Let's say they do it. What happens now? It's gemara and avodah zarah is machlokes. If a female does the milah, she performs the milah, does it successfully work or not? Or it doesn't work? You got to do it again. I mean, you can't physically do it again. You do a tavas dam bris, but that's the question. In the Gemara, machlokes in the Gemara. So one of the Gemara, the Man D'Amo, who says it works, has a very good raya, this week's parasha. He says, if you're going to say a milah doesn't work, how did Tzipora do a milah? Most obvious question around. It's such a big question that you're like, you think, what is the first one saying? How can he doesn't know a pasuk in the Torah? So he comes up with an answer. The Gemara asks this kasha, all Gemaras. The Gemara answers that, what does it mean that if you have to read the pasuk in front of us, what does it mean that she did the milah? Does not mean she did the milah. That's not even a pasuk. That's even a pasuk if you go to the wrong yeshiva. If you go to the right yeshiva, you know how to read the pasuk. The pasuk means that she started the process, or more importantly, she arranged for someone else to do it. She was the mamana shliach. So even though you read it and it seems like pasuk that she did the milah, I think 99% of the people read it that way. There's a mandam of the Gemara that says that's not the way to read the pasuk. Again, there's pronouns, you can get away with it. She arranged for someone else to do it. That's all Aleph Beis and two different Gemaras and two different Taisim. If you could say Aleph Beis on two Gemaras and two Taisim. So again, are women obligated in the mitzvah? No debate. No way. Women are not obligated in the mitzvah. That's an open Gemara, open Pasuk, and an open Taisis of why you need a Pasuk. But that's clear. If women do it, that's a machlokes in the Gemara. Based on, and that would be the differentiation, the nafkamina between whether or not women are obligated in the Pasuk. Can it work, l'mafreya? In hindsight, does it work at all? That would be totally in the Gemara, how you read the Gemara and how you read the Pasukim over here. Okay. So let's analyze this a little bit here. The Matzchias in the Gemara on Avodah Zarah has a bomb kasha. And that's what we're going to base our whole shir on tonight. The Matzchias' kasha is like this. We're debating whether a female mother can perform a milah that it would work, and the raya is from a pasuk by Tzipora. So he says, wait a second, I don't know if that's even a good raya. Before the Gemara is debating it, let's discuss the whole thing. So there's another Gemara. Am I going too fast, Abby? Another Gemara. Gemara in Sanhedrin has a concept like this. Avraham Avinu and his children were obligated in milah. Avraham was obligated to gemal his children. That's where it comes from. What about Avraham's children? So we know Yitzchak and his children that comes to us today, all of us are obligated in the midst of milah. But Avraham had another wife, another set of kids, called the B'nai Keturah. The B'nai Keturah were from, well, Keturah, maybe Hagar. There were six kids there. And the Gemara says that the B'nai Keturah are obligated in the midst of milah. This nation of six nations are obligated in the mitzvah of milah. As a machloikas, how do we read the Gemara? Open Gemara, machloikas. Rashi learns that who was obligated in the mitzvah milah from the keturah? That first generation. They were Avram's children. So Avram was given this command to have this special new thing called milah in the world. And Avram's children had this command. But that doesn't get passed on. Only Yitzchak's children get passed on until today. So all of us today are obligated in the milah. But the B'nai Keturah were obligated. That means literally the B'nai Keturah. The children of Keturah, those people themselves. Not doesn't mean the B'nai Keturah means like B'nai Yisrael today. We say B'nai Yisrael today. It doesn't mean the children of Yisrael. That's the whole machlokes last week in the parasha. I hate say Shema Yisrael Baruch Shem Kavai Mechus Lalam, but too fast. But anyway, the idea is, what does it mean when you say B'nai Keturah Mechuyiv? Rashi learns very simple. Open Rashi over there. Rashi says B'nai Keturah means those kids themselves. The Rambam clearly argues, and the Rambam says no. B'nai Keturah until today are obligated in the mitzvah of Milah. Forever and ever, if you were a child of Avraham Avinu, there were other nations in the world, but if you came from the line of Avraham Avinu, then you're in the game. B'nai Keturah is in the game, and Yitzchak's in the game. Why Yishmael's not? Not for now. And you're in the game forever and ever. So the Rambam says openly, that if you would find someone today from B'nai Keturah, and a guy would have a lineage, he would trace back his lineage, and he would show you Ben Achaben, whatever, all the way back to Keturah land, wherever that was, and he would show you, I come from Keturah. We would turn to the guy, and we'd become Chabad for an hour, and we'd say, listen, we have a suggestion for you. You could put on tefillin, that's okay, we'll have a tank for you to do that. We have something else for you. You're B'nai Keturah, you take out a knife, and you sharpen the knife, and you say, please lie down, we're gonna circumcise. You might get arrested. And other things. But that's the law that is brought down. We have to know the seven mitzvah B'nai Noach. The ninth one, if you're seven mitzvah B'nai Noach, means B'nai Noach of regular people. But according to the Rambam, the B'nai Keturah today are obligated in the mitzvah of Peruvu, in the mitzvah of Milah. No questions asked, the Rambam says it openly. Every B'nai Keturah today, now, okay, the question is, do you have a B'nai Keturah today? You have to track down someone with a Shtar Yichas. And the Shagasaya points out a contradiction in the Rambam. Am I going too fast? Got a lot of people. Okay, let me slow it down a little bit. We have a famous king called Sancheriv. Sancheriv, when he captured the world, had an idea. To avoid revolutions, what he did was he moved everyone around. Like Yosef did in Mitzrayim, Rashi a couple weeks ago. What he did was he took everyone from side A and put them in side B. Whatever he did, I don't know if it's side A, B, but whatever he did, he divided the nation up and he moved everyone around. No one had a homeland anymore. The Rambam says, the Gemara says, that there are certain rules that apply to non-Jewish nations. Well, we don't care who the non-Jewish guy is. Yes, there is. Why? Let's say you're from the nation of Amon Amoyev. You can't marry Amon Amoyev for the first three generations. It's going to be an issue. We have certain laws that are practical to certain of the 70 nations. A few of them are practical. So the Rambam says, you should know, if someone comes over to you and says, by the way, I come from Amon, I want to convert. You tell the guy, listen, normally Amon people, you convert, you can't get married so fast. There's an issue with going on here. But you know what? We don't believe you. Because you don't believe me. I want to convert. No, we believe you on that part. We don't believe you that you're from Amon. I said, I have a shtar yichas. I'm going to tell you, let me show you my shtar. He comes with a shtar yichas. It goes back 15 generations to Amon. We see he comes from Amon. Tell the guy, it doesn't make a difference to us. You know why? Sancheriv came and messed up the whole world. Doesn't make a difference to us. So whatever you say you are, if you are a non-Jewish person, you say if you come from place X means nothing to us. We don't go with that. Sancheriv messed up the whole world. So no one can say where they come from. Any nation says they come from, that's irrelevant. You claim you're from Amalek? I don't know. We don't trust you. Amon Moab? What?
Romans, I think.
Not a Rambam, though. I'll have to look that up, yeah? So any nation in the world comes forward, he says no. So Shag Sai has a Ban Kasha. How does the Rambam write the B'nai Keturah today? I'm a Chuyiv Milo. There's no such thing as B'nai Keturah. Now, if you want to say theoretical, then you should have said Amon Amoyev. The Rambam says, Amon Amoyev comes to you today. We say, we're Amoyev, we're Mitzri. These are the nations that you can't marry right away. We have certain halachas of conversion. No, we don't trust you. Everyone can convert, but then certain laws apply to certain nations. When you convert, you're irrelevant. Okay. So if it's irrelevant by all the nations of Amon Amoyev, why? Because Sancheriv mess up the entire world. So when a guy comes up from B'nai Keturah, what are you taking a knife for? Tell the guy, listen, Shkoyach, we see your star, it's irrelevant to us. We don't believe you anymore. Sancheriv mess up the world.
Is Keturah a nation? Or Keturah just do people have that yichus? So it's, does it make it ridiculous? Right.
You have to know what.
That wasn't a nation. So it was like.
You're separating that Amon Amoyev is called a nation and Keturah is not called a nation.
Right.
A good gang might be right. Might be wrong, but might be right. There is. It depends exactly what the words in your mind mean of nation. And think, I don't know what you mean by nation. You have to clearly define what means a nation, what means a nationality. Sounds like you're identifying as a Palestinian. No? I'm saying, after how it works. I'm saying.
Isn't Midian one of the Zionist 70 nations?
Yeah.
B'nai Keturah.
Right, B'nai Keturah comes from Midian, right? Oh, so we have, right now we have a steer in a Rambam. Let's go back what we did so far because they're going a little fast. We have Machlokes and a Rambam Rashi. If B'nai Keturah today are obligated in the mitzvah. The Rambam says obligated in the mitzvah, he openly says it. We have another thing going on. We have a steer in a Rambam. The Rambam said B'nai Keturah today will be obligated. But Rambam Moyev, not obligated because the Sancheriv messed it up. We have a third thing going on here, just to picture the whole thing together, is that we have a question. Are women Mechuyev, if they do, not Mechuyev, if women perform a mitzvah of Milah, does it work at all? So this is Maraz Chai's Kasha. We'll have to get back to the steer in a second. Maraz Chai's Kasha, wait a second. There are certain people, the Rambam, who believes that all people come from B'nai Keturah, even till today, we have to know how, why in a second, are obligated mitzvah milah. So guess what? He just said correctly, who comes from B'nai Keturah? I don't know B'nai Keturah, but I know one thing, I know Midjan. Midjan comes from B'nai Keturah. You know who's from Midjan? Yisroi, Koyin, Midjan. Who's Yisroi's daughter? Moshe Rabbeinu's wife. So Maraz Chai says, Avakasha. The whole Gemara in Chav Zayin is debating whether women are allowed to perform a milah at the end. Does a milah work? Do women work? And you bring a raya from her. Who cares what she is? She's not doing milah as a Jewish woman. She was doing milah as a Keturah woman. Maraz Chai says, Kasha. She was mechuyev a milah for a different reason. Of course her milah works. She's a Keturah lady. Keturah lady is mechuyev a milah. Not, it doesn't have to do with Jewish ladies. How do you, Gemara, bring a raya that a Jewish lady is mechuyev in the mitzvah milah from Tzipora? Tzipora is not a Jewish lady. Tzipora is a Midian lady. Her father was Yisrael. Yisrael is Midian. Midian comes from Keturah. Open Gemaras. Let me slow it down. Let's go back to the theory. We're going to answer everything. You still with me? Okay. Yes. So it goes like this. We have a contradiction in the Rambam. We're going to answer first. The Rambam in one place says, all nationalities today, if you show up with a green card, you say you're from Mexico. We don't believe you. We believe you're American. Why? Because we're a melting pot. Everyone's American. But I have a star saying I come from Mexico. I came across the border. It's irrelevant to us. The only person that seems to work on, according to the Rambam, it doesn't make sense. The Rambam seems to say, when it comes to B'nai Keturah, and he says, I am B'nai Keturah, we're going to accept that contract and take out a knife and try to circumcise him. How does it work? So the Shmuel Landau, who is the son of the Nebi Yehuda, has a genius answer. We're going to tie him. It's cold. It's going to have a nice bow on it. How do you know? One of the most famous ideas. How do you know your bar mitzvah at 13 years old? You can find a pasuk. It's not so easy to find a source for it. Okay, 13 years old, you come bar mitzvah. At 13 years old, you know what happens? A Jewish kid, count for the minyan. Okay, great. You know what else happens? If you do something wrong, and you have two witnesses who testify that you violated Shabbos by mason, kill the guy. You're an adult. Okay, what about a guy? Does a guy have a bar mitzvah? Not that I know. Does a guy have a bar mitzvah? The answer is no, a guy doesn't have a bar mitzvah. Bas mitzvah? No. When does a guy become an adult? So the rule is like this. All measurements in Judaism are Torah measurements from Sinai. They're only given to the Jewish nation. Non-Jews do not have measurements. Which would mean, on a simple level, if a non-Jew steals a tenth of a penny, he's chayav misa. Because he's obligated not to steal, and there's no minimum measurements. There's no measurement, minimum or maximum measurement when it comes to a non-Jew. When does a non-Jew become an adult? We test him. Does he have a brain cell or not? If he has a brain cell, then he could be at 9 years old. You want to make a racist joke? Fill in whatever you're thinking. It's on tape. 18 years old. 37 years old. 82 years old. Become president of the United States. But you have to have a brain. The fact is, when are you judged as an adult? There's no time period. There's no kazayas. If a non-Jew wants to eat Eiv Menachai, we get punished. You don't have to eat a kazayas of it. Measurements are non-applicable to non-Jews. That's a fact. As a non-Jew, there are no measurements. As a Jew, you have measurements. That's what we have. It's a good thing and a bad thing. At 13 years old, you can't. Whether you're mamish brilliant or not, at 13 years old, you can't. So if you're 13 and you're the genius kid, then at 7, the non-Jew loses. The not-so-smart non-Jew gains. He could be doing things until he's 18 years old. No one can judge him. He's not an adult yet. So the measurements work for Jews and for non-Jews. What else works for Jews and non-Jews? Majorities. The Rambam says like this. There are four nations, open Rambam, four nations that when they convert, they're not allowed to marry them right away. Maybe forever, it depends which nation. Ammon, Moab, Egyptians, another one. So what happens now? What does the Rambam say? The guy comes and says, I'm from Ammon. So okay, we don't believe you. But maybe he is from Ammon. Maybe he is from Ammon. So Rambam says, I don't care. Chassan Kharib mixed up the world. Okay, therefore what? We go with majority. There's 70 non-Jewish nations. There's four you can't marry from. Majority wins. So any guy who comes over to you and says, Ich bin Ammoni, Ich bin Moabi, I'm one of these guys. We tell them, yeah, we go majority. We don't believe you. Majority goes, wins, and therefore you're from probably 36 of the nations that's majority out of 70. 36 of the nations are good. You're good to go. As a Jew, we take majority and we tell the guy, we don't care. Doesn't matter what you think. We go majority. You might be Ammon. Yeah, that's not me. We don't care. What about a non-Jew? Could a non-Jew rely on the majority? No. Non-Jew can't rely on majority. Majority is a concept like a measurement. Why should you rely on majority? Why should you have a court case that you say 13 people say the guy should die, 11 say no? So why are we killing the guy? 11 judges who are geniuses said don't kill this guy. The answer is we go majority. By a non-Jew, you can't go to majority. You don't have 13-year-olds. You don't have kazayas. You don't have anything. There's no such thing as shurim. So a non-Jew cannot rely on the majority. Says Rav Shmuel Landau's genius answer. He says when it comes to marrying a Jew post-conversion, the guy comes to us and says, I want to convert. I'm from Ammon. and he converts, and he's from Ammon, you tell him, listen, welcome to the club. We're going to marry you. Oh, but I read the Torah. It says Ammon can't. Yeah, we go majority. Odds are you're not Ammon. Statistically speaking, you're good. We're good. But when you meet a B'nai Keturah, when the Rambam's discussing meeting a B'nai Keturah, that he's Mechuyiv in the midst of Mila, he's not talking about B'nai Keturah converted. He's talking about B'nai Keturah. It's a guy. You walk, you're going down the street. You ask, you put on tefillin today. No, I'm a non-Jew. Okay. But you're from Keturah? Yeah, okay. Then they have to have a circumcision. As a non-Jew, he cannot rely on the majority. Therefore, oh, you're B'nai Keturah? You're obligated in the midst of Mila. As a non-Jew. If he would convert to Judaism, then we play a different game. But when a person's a non-Jew, you do not work with measurements. No measurements. What?
So you can't rely on his B'nai Keturah. You can't rely on his Kim on his majority, same thing on the mouth, right?
I'm an Amor. That's what you're saying? I'm just
no,
not sure.
You can't say that he's not an Amor. He's the majority.
We assume I'm an Amor. We go majority. So since we go majority, you're allowed to marry us. But B'nai Keturah cannot rely on the majority because we don't go majorities but non-Jews. Non-Jews stay with non-Jews. So you can't go majority. Okay, you're B'nai Keturah. You got to do a meal. That's what Shmuel Adda wants to answer. He says the Rambam's genius answer. You're on the right track. Every genius question. You got to think it through. You're on the right track. Shmuel is on the right track.
Every guy has to have
meal. Oh, he's finishing up Shmuel's thought. Wait 1 second. Let's go. That's the genius question. The point is this. We have a contradiction. The Rambam says that the Amon Amoyev that come to us and convert, we can marry them. Aye, we're not allowed to marry Amon Amoyev. Yeah, we don't trust them. We go majority. So why B'nai Keturah? Are you saying, well, B'nai Keturah? Maybe they're not B'nai Keturah. Some chayv messed up.
Right.
Yeah, because you can't rely on a majority by B'nai Keturah. That's what Shmuel Landa, the son of B'nai Yehuda, says. The son of B'nai Yehuda has this genius answer. I want to answer the contradiction between the Rambam. This is my answer. The Mechas Chinuch and whoever, what his name is, and maybe Sroli, has raised him. It's a genius answer. Shmuel Landa's answer is genius. No question about it. But the conclusion should be the opposite. If you can't rely on majority, which way are you going? Are you going now that a B'nai Keturah is obligated in the mitzvah? Or are you going that every non-Jew in the world should be obligated in the mitzvah? We have a new side right now. Every non-Jew in the world cannot rely on majority. You know what that means? Every non-Jew, there's a 1 out of 70 chance they come from B'nai Keturah. As a 1 out of 70 chance that they come from B'nai Keturah, they have to have a milah. So why are you saying B'nai Keturah, I'm a chayv mila? Yeah, but once Ancherev came around, I'm the valuable of the whole world. You know what has to happen? You have to take the new tank and drive down Fifth Avenue, come out with your knife and say, listen, every non-Jew, welcome to the club. As remain a non-Jew, we're not looking to convert you, but we're going to give you a circumcision. Very unhealthy idea to try it. We have to know why now. If we're not relying on a majority, then every non-Jew in the world has a 1% chance. That's the bomb kash of the Mechas Chinuch on Rav Shmuel Landau, who tried to answer this year the Rambam.
Since yeah, I think on the non-Jew side, they
every non-Jew. Let me do this again because I think tonight I'm going faster than last time. Let's slow it down. You got me so excited last time, so I went faster. We do, not them. We do, correct. If a guy would eat Eiv Menachai, he does not need a kazayis. If a guy, there's a machloikas, you have to know how to read it. If a guy wants to walk into a bezdin, he doesn't need 23, he doesn't need 13. It's possible to say, I'm telling you reality. If a guy is being judged by a goyish court in a goyish system, and one judge out of 23 says, mechayiv misa, could be mechayiv misa. It's a question. It's a real question asked. Because a guy doesn't go out of roiv. So I don't need a roiv saying mechayiv misa. I have 23 judges. They don't need 23 judges.
Asra, what about Asra? Asra is not a measurement. Is Asra a measurement? Dini Asra?
Because it's not a measurement, it's not relevant to this conversation. That's a good question. But it's not relevant because it's not
no, but maybe,
we're going on measurements.
I might need it. Many, that's right. Many.
Different conversation. But we're discussing of measurements. Now, there's no such thing as measurements by non-Jews. Non-Jews don't have a 13-year-old measurement. They don't have a kazayis measurement. They have no measurements at all. There's no measurements at all to a non-Jew, which means you want to answer B'nai Keturah should be mechayiv. I like that. But guess what? Extend the theory to the end and every non-Jew becomes mechayiv emila.
Very hard. Otherwise, only by using the measurement.
Meaning?
No, why would every non-Jew become, why is it be suffic that every guy could be a B'nai Keturah?
If they don't need a majority, then I have no, so why not the minimum? The same way if they steal one penny, or if they eat one brekala of Eiv Menachai, a conniption of an Eiv Menachai, demechuyiv, if they steal one penny, anything they do that demechuyiv in, there's no minimum. We have minimums. As Jews, we have minimums. If you eat less than a kazayis, you're not getting malchus.
Every guy is not 1% B'nai Keturah.
We don't know.
Right.
Sancheirav mixed it up.
Not to be. A guy that eats a penny of chelev, he ate chelev. Or a guy that eats stole something, he stole something. Somebody that's 1% B'nai Keturah,
It's a good theory, but I'll tell you why you're wrong.
No, it's a suffix. No, it's a
suffix. Because according to you, the guy who says he's b'nei ketor also should be nothing.
So the question is, do we rule? A guy comes and says he is.
The Rambam says, if a guy says he says I'm b'nei ketor, the Rambam says he says it. He's saying, a b'nei ketor today is mechuyev. Our question, Shagasari's question is, we don't trust what a guy says. San Chayrav messed everything up. So you can't come and say, I'm from b'nei ketor. No one has a belief. Any contract he holds of a shtar yichus is worthless. That's what the and but the Rambam
that's
says yes.
Only for a Jew can use that.
No. That's a step after. The Rambam is saying that every b'nei keturah today is mechuyev. Our question was, how are you mechuyev if all goyim don't have shtaris? All goyim are at the door. So Rav Shmuel Landau wanted to say, yeah, but as a goy, he has to be careful of the 1% because he says b'nei keturah. But there's no thing as you saying b'nei keturah doesn't make any sense. You can't say you're anything. We don't believe anybody when they say they have a star. You say you're Mexican, you say you're South African, you say you're French, you say you're German, who cares? We don't believe a word you say, because Ancher came along at one point and said nobody has any yichus anymore. So if nobody has any yichus anymore...
Does it ever come into play if whether we believe him or not?
Oh, so the first Rambam, that when the guy comes forward and said, I'm from Amoin, we tell him we don't, when you
desperately... After he's Jewish, then we'll let him do the rov, and then he won't... So that's only after he's Jewish.
Right.
But before he's Jewish, there is no rov.
Correct. Therefore,
so the B'nai Keturah is not going by Roy or anything. It's a guy coming with a DNA that's proving that he's a B'nai Keturah.
There's such thing as proving.
He's saying
showing his DNA coming from Keturah straight down.
But we never believe that. The whole idea is that when the guy comes and says from Amen, we don't believe him, right?
We don't believe
him. No, but that's yeah.
When he converts. But we don't believe that he's originally from Amen.
Us marrying the
that's Rosh Hashanah's answer.
But then for looking at Chris, that's looking at the other side.
But Shmuel Landau's answer is the difference between a guy and a Jew. Once he converts, we can work with the Rav, but before he converts, we can't. That's what Shmuel Landau's answer. Different before he converts, he says he's Keturah. He's 1% Keturah. We don't believe him. We don't believe him, but he's 1%. So the question he's asking, what the Mechassim is asking, everyone's 1%. Who's not 1%? At one point in time, Sancheriv mixed the whole world up. Everyone's 1 out of 70. It sounds 1%, but it's 1 out of 70. Every guy in the world is 1 out of 70, because no one has any yichas. Everyone's a mixed marriage at a certain point. So if everyone's a mixed marriage, every guy in the world becomes at one point a 1%er of a B'nai Keturah. Therefore, every guy in the world is mechuyev in this. That's what the Mechas Chinuch is asking on the Shmuel Landau. You're saying, well, but let's believe B'nai Keturah. We don't believe any of these guys. No one who comes with a contract is believed. So if no one who comes with a contract is believed, then Enechlami, that everyone should be obligated. Every, according to the Sephara, by the way, the Chiddush Neir pointed out, is that Shmuel Landau was a son of the Rebbe Yehuda. The Yehudas, in his slach, writes this. He writes every guy is mechuyev emila. Grada, the son didn't go with this. I don't know. I can't answer that. Why? What happened over there? But at one point in time, the Yehudas seems to write the same thing. That every guy in the world is mechuyev emila until you convert. When you convert, you mechuyev emila again, but for a different reason. Not because you're b'nei keturah, because you're now a Jew. But as long as you're a guy, you are stateless, you are homeless, you are nationalityless. That's even a word. You are nothing to us, and therefore we have to take on what? It should be all chumras as well. Olchemus as well.
This is before Sancheir.
No, yeah, that's what he said. Yeah, you guys think about it. Now, what's interesting is, so we have now, but now, we obviously don't, until tonight, no one here thought about going around being Gamal all the guy in the world. I mean, Pari did it at one point maybe in Egypt, but we don't do that. So we have to figure out what's going on here. Now, Steinman's Atzal is a bomb question. Unbelievable.
What's with ladies who said that?
Oh, we'll go that direction. Okay. There's a lot going on here. Okay, let's go with the ladies now. So the son of the Mechas Chinuch has an unbelievable idea. So let's go back to the Gemara in Kedushin. The Gemara in Kedushin says, how do you know a female is not, a Jewish female, is not obligated to mitzvah mila? Oisoi v'lo yoisoi. It says that you are Gemal, he is, oisoi means the male has to be obligated in the mitzvah of the father. And we say, oisoi means not the female. Tosfos says a bomb question. I don't need oisoi v'lo yoisoi. Women are not mechuyev in any mitzvah, says Rambam. We only do a mitzvah of milah by daytime. We do not do a mitzvah of milah by nighttime. Therefore, it's a mitzvah, says Rambam. I don't need a pasuk. That's Tosfos' bomb question. What's the pasuk telling me? I know it already. Of course, women are not obligated. And that Tosfos is literally 150 different answers. Tosfos himself answers, we don't rule this way, that this Gemara in Kedushin, Daf Chav Tes, that says, oisei v'lo yoisei is needed, is because that Tosfos holds that Mila is not a mitzvah shezman grama, and Mila could be formed day and night. We don't do that. That means Tosfos, if you read Tosfos alone, you don't know any Rishonim. Gemara Rash Tosfos, the Gemara says, Oysa v'lo yoysa. Tosfos said, you don't need Oysa v'lo yoysa, mitzvah shezman grama. Yeah, of course, this Gemara is holding, this Gemara believes that it's not a mitzvah shezman grama, that really women are, Mila is mechuyev, a 24-hour thing, and therefore it's not a problem. But we don't believe that. So then we have a problem because we have an Oysoi v'lo Yosoi. Why would the Torah say Oysoi v'lo Yosoi? So any answer you're going to give, you're going to have to explain why Oysoi v'lo Yosoi. So the Michas Chanatzan is an unbelievable question. When you say women are not mechuyev, we're talking about Jewish women. When we say B'nai Keturah obligated, they're obligated. What about the female B'nai Keturah? Women have no, there's no Shi'urim and there's no any of these rules. So if you want to say, as a theoretical question only, it does not exist in reality according to Michas Chanatzan, who's quoting this whole thing. Here goes real theoretical law. Would a female Keturah, would a female guy who's mechuyev in the Shev Mitzvot B'nai Noyach, the women are mechuyev in the same, would they be permitted or not obligated in a mitzvah sheish as man grama? Doesn't exist in reality, but let's say theory. We know goyim are mechuyev in seven mitzvahs. A goy can't eat eved menachai. That applies to a male goy and a female goy. Guess what? A goy can't steal. That applies to a male goy and a female goy. Can't kill. Male and female. Of course. These are all normal things. But let's say you would have theoretically a mitzvah sheish as man grama that a goy is mechuyev in. Would the female goy say, oh, by the way, I'm out on this one? Or we would tell it, no. This whole idea of Mitzvah Sheish Hazman Grama is a measurement concept. This doesn't go to you. You're blank the guy when it comes to the situation. You don't count to the system. This system of measurements of 13, could a female guy say, listen, 12 years old? I'm going to go 12 years old. No, you're not 12 years old. We measure your brain cells. So, but I want to go on 12 because the Torah says 12. Well, you can do whatever you want, but that's not reality. You go by the time. There's no such thing as a Patur. So now, Mitzvah Sheish Hazman says, I'm right. I have one theoretical case. That's his genius he comes up with. What about the women Keturah on Mila? Are women Keturah obligated in the midst of Mila? He writes this in his thing.
It's not theoretical. That's real.
Right. He said everyone else is theoretical. He comes back to this. He says like this. B'nai Keturah obligated in Mila according to Rambam. That's an open Rambam. You can't argue on that. What about the female B'nai Keturah? Yes or no? Your first reaction should be, we don't separate goyim, men and women. We're equal opportunity rights. We're not racist or sexist. All goyim are the same. A female goy can't steal. Female goy can't eat menachai. Female goy is mechuyev mila. Well, why should it be different? Oh, but she wants to tie a seish as man grama? Okay, that's a Jewish concept. A seish as man grama is a Jewish concept. It doesn't apply to you. So he wants to say that the pasuk in the Torah, the Gemara on Chavtes, that says, oy soy v'lo yoy so, is coming to exclude a female Keturah. That's a Tosis Kasha. Tosis says, well, I have a Kasha. I don't need a Pasuk in the Torah. Why? Because all women are Pata. Because Mitzvah Sheish Hazman Grama. Mechas HaNachson said, yeah, of course. Jewish women are Pata because Mitzvah Sheish Hazman Grama. But Keturah women are not. This whole Gemara, you never thought of this before in your life, only Mechas HaNachson is telling you, when you read Gemara Chavtes, know that the Gemara is referring to Benoist Keturah. Benoist Keturah, a Pata from a Pasuk, Oysoi V'loi Oysoi. So they wouldn't have a Keturah of a Sheish Man Grama, like Tois asked, because that wouldn't apply to women Keturah. So they have a new pasuk to tell us that, by the way, women are out. So now, what's Meratz Chaya's question? We're putting a bow on it, because he switched directions. We would have had a different bow. What was the kash we had before? Let's go back and test everybody. The Gemara of Adazara says, if a Jewish female performs the ceremony of Mila, does it work at all? She's not obligated. That's Gemara in Kedushin. But if she does it work? Does it work? If a guy does a mila, it doesn't work, right? You're going to have to do a tafas dam bris. If a machine does a bris mila, you still got to do something. It doesn't work. So what about a female? Gemara's machlokes. Gemara's saying, wait, machlokes. We have an open pasuk in the Torah. This week's parsha, hence why we're discussing it, that Tzipora gave a mila to her child. So clearly women can do it or else the whole game is over. What was Tzipora doing in a hotel room in the Malone over there? And if it doesn't work or anything? It must be women are obligated. So Maratskias came along and said, what? She was B'nai's Keturah. She was obligated. That's all. What is Gemara doing? He said the whole Gemara is wrong. She doesn't count at all. She wasn't doing it as a Jew. How is the Gemara having an argument about a Jew? She's not a Jew. She's B'nai's Keturah. But according to the B'nai's Chanachson, Oystei V'Leyeson Kedushin is going on what? B'nai's Keturah Pata. The only way Tzipora is going to be doing a Mila is because she's going on a Jew. So the Gemara could bring a raya that a Jewish female who does a mila works if you read the pasuk that way. Again, the other man said, don't read the pasuk that way. Read the pasuk that she hired someone else to do it. But according to the Michas Chanachson, that holds that there's a special pasuk to tell you that B'nai's Keturah is going to be pata, which is a big chiddush in that Gemara. But he answers about Tosfos and about 14 other things with that. Then you could say, we can answer this question, he's not calling Meratz Chaya, he's at the same time. But he can answer the question where Meratz Chaya to say it. So what do we come out with before we stop the share and everyone's heads thinking this guy talks too fast? Comes out like this. Comes out, first of all, when you read the pasuk in the Torah, you have a Gemara in Avodah Zarah that tells you it's not as easy to read as you think. It's not clear when you read the pasuk that Tzipora actually did the milah. The Gemara gives two different answers. Either she hired someone to do the milah, that's like, you got to now figure out who is there with her. Who's in the hotel with Tzipora and the kids? For a genius of Chaim Kanievsky, shouldn't be doing this, too much information, Chaim Kanievsky says, the Rambam is a big chiddush. The Rambam says a cotton could do a milah. What? No Gemara says a cotton could do a milah. Could a cotton down for the yomit? No. Could a cotton do anything? No. He said a cotton could do a milah. And they all clear, where's the source of a Rambam? He says this pasuk right here. Because Tzipora is in the hotel, and the Gemara says that she had someone else do it. Who else in the hotel with her? It must be the other son. Keshen and the... What? And that's the only other person. He's a cotton at the time. What does that say? What's the name again? The second one.
Shmoki has a question.
Eliezer. Eliezer, right? He just said it.
She threw the stone. She threw it. She didn't grab it.
Yes and no. It doesn't make a difference.
That's the second
fact. No. I understand what you're saying, but that doesn't change anything. Did what she do accomplish something? Whether she threw it or with her hands, it's the same question. No, if a female can't do anything, because she's puzzled, disqualified, then what she does is irrelevant. Okay. So the Torah says she did something. You're discussing what she did, but if it's irrelevant, it's irrelevant. So she had to hire someone else. So when you read in the parasha, back to what we went to say. So when you read in the Pesukim in this week's parasha, you have to know, did Tzipora actually do it or not? That's question number one. That's a Gemara debate. That's not me. Gemara debates in Avodah Zarah, who did the actual milah? Tzipora, or she hired somebody? The Gemara has two answers. Either she hired a random person, or she said Moshe Rabbeinu.
Yeah.
Either way, either Moshe did it or someone else did it. Then we have a second question from the Meratz Chiyus that's saying, wait a second. I don't know if she did it as a Jew or a non-Jew. If she's a non-Jew, then the whole game doesn't make any sense. For the Gemara, why is the Gemara discussing it with a non-Jewish woman? So we go with the son of the Michas Hanach, who says, no. Keturah women are out. Chiddush Neira. Keturah men are in. Keturah women are out. All other things are men and women are equal. Not when it comes to Bris Milah. Bris Milah by Benayis Keturah is going to be Pata. Therefore, the only reason she's doing it because she's a Jew, shows it back into the game of Chavzai and how it works. After we didn't, and we answered the Stephen Rambam. Yeah, let me send this to me. I'll check it out.